You are listening to a Sunday sermon from St. Thomas Episcopal Church in Bellevue, Washington. We are a community that seeks God's presence, serves Christ and others, and grows together in faith. Welcome to our podcast. The following sermon was preached on the seventh Sunday of Easter, May 8, 2016, by the Reverend Bob Heyman, retired priest at St. Thomas.
Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus prayed for his disciples, and then he said, I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me, and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, to see my glory, which you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
People are no damn good. People are no damn good. How many times have we not heard folks utter that statement, or even say it ourselves? With the subtext, of course, it's other people. Still, with our TV screens full of appalling miseries of Syrian refugees trying to reach Europe, while the bungling governments of the European Union fail to act with human decency, the festering sore of Palestine rumbles on, a disaster familiar to a number of our fellow parishioners who recently visited the Middle East. Africans attack Africans in domestic bloodbaths, and here in this enormously prosperous Northwest, there is no place for the homeless, and beggars sit on the corners of Seattle. There is ample evidence of man's inhumanity to man. It is easy to dismiss all this misery, this mayhem, this injustice by just saying people are no damn good. But if we are Christians, that flip phrase won't work. Truly, we have before us the evidence of sin, but it is not all that simple. Truly, to say that people are no good is profoundly unchristian. I'm tempted to say, let's go back to our Sunday school lessons, but I have to be honest with you. I hated Sunday school. I did everything I could not to go, and so I had to learn the lessons another way. Still, if we turn to the first chapter of Genesis, the first book in the Old Testament, but not the oldest, we come to the story of creation. It is a story of how things came to be. It is not history. It is not science. It is myth. If you understand that the word myth does not mean untrue, but rather means a story to explain how things are or came to be. So there in Genesis, we have the account of how God created the world in 7 days, noting at the end of each day what he had made was good. And on the end of the sixth day, as he looked at his whole creation, he said it was very good. And then he said, let us make man in our own image. Let us make his companion Eve in our image. And he placed them in the lovely Garden of Eden, where they enjoyed perfect freedom, save for eating the fruit of one tree. Well, the rest of the story is pretty well known, even if you didn't go to Sunday school. Eve ate the forbidden fruit, as did Adam, and for that free act of disobedience, they were tossed out into the cruel world and forced to work for a living. There you have it, in one paragraph, a potted history of the fall. Using the non-historical history of the Old Testament, the non-historical history, if you like, of the Old Testament, life developed pretty much along the lines we know. The miseries of the present were the miseries of the past. God, who had made the world and pronounced it good, God, who had made man in his own image, looked down from heaven, looked down at the world he loved, looked down at the men and women he loved, and entered into that life in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. God became incarnate. That is, God became enfleshed, if you will, in Jesus. God himself was made manifest in the life, work, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus. Now, in the meantime, what about all the things that have gone wrong? Ever since the mythological events of the Garden of Eden, people have made bad choices. The phrase bad choices often appears in pop psychology today. But from a biblical point of view, a bad choice is sin. I do not want to oversimplify all this. The problems of addiction, the problems of mental illness, and the stresses of social upheaval cannot be just waved aside by saying the three-letter word sin. But on the other hand, a series of bad choices, a series of sinful behavior, has clearly led to horror in the Middle East, butchery in Africa, and abandoned citizens in our own community. People made in God's image are not bad. They are essentially good. They do not always make bad choices. History, thank God, is adorned by men and women who have done the right thing, who have benefited society, and who have sacrificed themselves for the sake of others. They are in our midst today. So it was into this world where so much had gone wrong, and yet where so many had pointed the way to the good, that Jesus came. Came and lived with us and in us, knowing love and sorrow, hunger and thirst, temptation and joy. On the cross and in his resurrection, he overcame the heritage of sin, of bad choices that followed disobedience in the garden. His sacrifice became a new covenant, a new agreement, a new promise of love between God and man. And his resurrection was the proclamation that good is stronger than evil and life is stronger than death. But the story is not quite complete. Somehow, in the mystery of the resurrection, the authentic man, Jesus, remains. As the risen Jesus parted from his disciples, he returned to the Father. The Bible describes it as an ascension. Remember that the authors of the New Testament believed in a three-story universe, all each story flat, heaven above, earth beneath, the waters under the earth. Our understanding of the universe is far different, shaped by modern science. But the New Testament writers saw heaven as above and a return to God who dwells above as going up. Traditionally, the church celebrates the ascension of Jesus 40 days after Easter. So Thursday of the week just passed was Ascension Day. Here is the Christian proclamation. Jesus, who shared our true humanity, carried that humanity with him in the mystery of the ascension. God does not just know about human life. God has experienced human life. In the midst of human disaster and in the midst of human glory, we have the promise of the resurrection and the sure and certain hope that our destiny is to dwell with God himself. The 19th century British Bishop Christopher Wordsworth, a nephew of the celebrated poet, put it this way: "Thou hast raised our human nature on the clouds to God's right hand. There we sit in heavenly places, there with thee in glory stand. Jesus reigns adorned by angels, man with God is on the throne. Mighty Lord, in thine ascension, we by faith behold our own. Mighty Lord, in thine ascension, we by faith behold our own." There you have the third verse of our final hymn this morning. As you sing it, think about it. Amen.
For more information about St. Thomas Episcopal Church, please visit our website, www.stthomasmedina.org. That's www.stthomasmedina.org.